11:9-13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And it goes on, yeah.
So, and we just had a wonderful session with Peter about that, and it's about the time to do it. If we go back to Margaret, what Margaret and John honoured me with, there's a couple of things there. I watched it a couple of times and I said, Lord, thank you. It's just so amazing for me. But I think there's more. I think it's... I reckon what we've got there is God's given us something again that we can actually show our women from a woman. Well, many, many women would love to do shed, but shed doesn't really suit the women. And we've done things like shed Sheila breakfasts, and we've interviewed men and women on marriage issues, and they're all fantastic. But here's a woman who prayed to God a long time ago about the bloke she was going to marry. Hear this one, fellas. Margaret asked God for a bloke that she knew would love God. And she, at the end, she knew that that was going to be answered. And she had a special woman in her life, Gladys Ost, who told her, just love your husband into the kingdom of God. And I am a product of loved into the kingdom of God. Margaret said to me again up there today, she said, she knew the word of God, no worries at all. But she said, I had to change. Now, when I came home from that camp way back, there was a lot of things didn't mean a lot to me, and there's probably blokes going to go home from here and go, didn't have a clue what was going on, but don't worry. Because it's the spirit. It's between God and you in your spirit. If you leave it up in your head and you put a block here, well, nothing changes. But if you go home and you just be in comfort with God in where you, whatever you do, and just say, Lord, I didn't get that. I didn't understand that. Doesn't matter. Don't worry, because where you are on the journey with him, don't let anyone around pull you apart and take your mind off the head coach. He's the man. He's got the game plan for us. And it's not about me or anyone else. It's where you go. So Margaret knew when I came home from that camp, I got out of that car, she very decisively said, I knew he was different when he got out of the car. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know, I asked her about that. I said, love, what did you mean? And she said, You were less of and you were more of. Like, you were more gentle. You were more considerate. You were more kind. You were more... She knew that. She knew that. I didn't have to say a word. I didn't have to go home and try and put on. And in my struggle to be who I am and to know whose I am in the life that tells you a lot of stuff, and you get told a lot of stuff around the churches, and you get confused, and so then you withdraw and you become more spiritually shy. I've been through that. I've been so scared to say grace under the church manse way back when I was an elder. I was scared to say it. You probably say, I don't believe you. Ring Ted Prenzler up today. And after I said grace here, all he said was, well done, Ian. Well done, Ian. And I can't remember what I said, and it doesn't matter what I said. It's all about God, not about me. So, Margaret, there are a couple of things that you need to know and hear. Don't go home trying to do anything. Go home and be who God created you to be. And enjoy. Don't lock the doors. The day of God's destiny that he's got you on is your where you are. And he takes you wherever you are. And he gives you another go. He wipes it all clean and gives you a go. And you don't lose a passion. You get more passion. And you can't go back to the old way. You know about the old way, but you can't go back there. Couple of things. They talked about the footy. God didn't take away my love for football. He took away my football. That was my God. He changed my life. I was so involved in the trots too. I had good horses. I had an uncle that sent me up lots of good trotting horses through. He picked up through New South Wales. He was a cattle buyer. He knew every horse in the country. And he'd buy me a horse for $2,000. He'd say, send me up $2,000. And it was like a $5,000 horse. And we'd take it to the races and we'd back it. And we'd win money. And then I'd get blokes in syndicates and I'd do all that stuff. I never put it in the book because I didn't want to put someone's mind away from the creator of the universe. I didn't want to take them and say, oh, I can go and buy another raffle ticket, or I can go and have a this, or I can go and have a that. I'm not, God would not allow me to put that in the book. If I write another book and he wants me to put something in there, it'll be because I've grown up enough to be able to talk about it in a way that it'll help somebody. Okay? So Margaret talked about football. She blesses me to go to football. And since God... since I've been able to understand who I am and whose I am, and that's pretty confusing in lots of places, God just did a shift in my life. I was there watching three grand finals when the Lions won them. I was right behind the coach's box in the old cricketers' club. I had the best seat in the house. Last year, Dazzler and I and Shoffy got to sit in the best place to watch the grand final. I haven't missed out on one football gem because God knows that it's where it is in my life. Trot and the trots, I don't go to the trots. He changed my life around. Nobody I know wants to go near the trots. No one talks about it. No one's interested in it. Gambling, I don't gamble. I don't go and have 100 on this or 100 on that. I don't put stuff on trebles because God changed my lifestyle. Did he change Daryl's lifestyle? Too right, he changes. And he constantly keeps changing us. Not to make us have some wussy life, but to give us the life and the destiny that he's got. So my football, Margaret said, yeah, it's a connector. I don't mind how much you rubbish me about Carlton, but I tell you, I can give it to and Stikes over there, the same with the Swans. It's just a great connector. And so that's that. Now, Margaret's point was she had to change too. How did I know my wife changed? This was my reaction to her. I got angry. Here's this beautiful girl that I love who was going to KYB or some such thing like that. And I was pretty cruddy at my time in my life. Margaret, our son Luke had asthma badly, went to hospital a few times. And but my wife, she got to really know the fullness of the Spirit within her. It's as simple as that. And I didn't have this beautiful girl. I had this magnificent woman from the inside. She was more. And I didn't know how to handle that. And I got angry. I was cranky. Why was I? Because I didn't know. I didn't have anyone to talk to. We have now got opportunities to talk about things that are hard. No one ever talked about politics, sex or religion. You just didn't do it. And that's a shame because we learn more when we hear. And I've got in my book there, a man convinced against his will remains the same man still. I think he's Dale Carnegie or something like that. But one of my Christian brothers in Norman Jess, he just had his 80th birthday. He's a real quiet bloke, sits in the same seat every week with a really stern look on his face. And most of the little children probably think he's not a very nice old bloke. He's a wonderful old bloke. And he did say that to me a long time ago when we were elders together. And he got very cranky because someone said something about his brother. And out came this anger out of this bloke who was so pious and so everything. He had this little thing. And he said that to me a way back. A man convinced against his will remains the same man still. So we can get up here. You can have some bash and smash you. You do it this way. You do it that way. Rubbish. I haven't seen an Aussie male get convinced of anything like that. You want to know something in the kingdom? You go to the top. You go and ask him. If you've got any doubts, ask him. If you've got any doubts, lock yourself in the room. Whatever you've got to do, and don't come out until you get an answer. And then you can come and talk about it. So that...
on that one. I'm going to go and sit down in a minute. I remember when we got together and I actually came to you and asked you, I'm too much up here. It took you a good hour session with me counselling that you actually helped me in being able to pray. And you told me I was too much up here and I had to let go. And I guess that's what I really appreciated what you've done in my life, was there was a bit of a hard word and I needed that. You would have said I was being a bit wussy back then, and I was a bit of a mummy's boy, wasn't I? So there's a time and a place. I'll go and sit down, but I appreciated that from you. Needed that.
Thank you. Thank you, and I appreciate.
Better bows, brothers, as we climb. Love will stand the test of time. 'Cause we'll walk as soldiers in a line. With God's strength, we'll pick up those who fall as we strive towards a goal. And they will not be ignored. Better blows.